Saudi journalist murdered. MS-13 now a bigger threat to the U.S. than ISIS. Honduras caravan heads for the U.S. border, and the midterm elections just weeks away.
Hello, I'm Lucy Walls. Tonight I sit down for a frank discussion with President Trump.
Those stories and more on a special edition of what we call 20 Minutes or Viewpoint, the Midweek Report.
Time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news, providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint, the Midweek Report.
Do you think that climate change is a hoax?
No, I don't think it's a hoax, Lucy. I mean, if you look at it, the climate has always changed. I mean, listen, I don't think people should be profiting from the global warming business. That's all.
I wish you could go to Greenland and watch these huge chunks of ice just falling into the ocean, raising the sea level.
Yeah, the truth is the climate's been changing to well before the dinosaurs were even here. It's always changing.
You know, I was thinking, what if you've seen the hurricane situation, now you've changed your mind?
Yeah.
Really is climate change, and maybe you'd say, wow, what an impact.
I'm not convinced that man is behind this at all. I will not give away billions of dollars and jobs and put the United States at a disadvantage.
Well, Jamal Khashoggi, the journalist, the Saudi journalist, was he murdered by the Saudis, and did the prince give the order to kill him?
Well, we don't have any evidence that says they murdered him.
Well, Jared, your son-in-law, got on the phone and asked the prince. Now, did he deny it?
Well, yes, he denies it. Are you surprised, Lucy? I mean, we have something called innocent before proven guilty in this country, just like the Kavanaugh hearings. You know, you all had him nailed to the wall without a single speck of evidence.
Don't want to talk about that. What are your options here with this? Let's say they did kill this guy. What are your options?
Well, listen, if we were to punish every country or leader who did something that we didn't like, there would be no one left to talk to. We simply cannot control what these people do. We don't have to like it, but we have to live with it.
Would you consider imposing sanctions? Bipartisan group of senators have proposed.
Well, whatever actions we take, including sanctions, will guarantee that the Saudis will go elsewhere for their arms deal. They will partner with countries like Russia, your favorite, you know, your favorite child, right? And China and others. And then what have we accomplished at that point?
Well, let's move on. You've had a string of wins lately. Let's see, the economy, the trade deal with Canada and Mexico, Kavanaugh and South Korea, and
yes,
Kavanaugh,
yes.
The confirmation.
Yes, no administration in the history of administrations has had the success we've had, Lucy. We are winning. In fact, you know, I told Americans they might get tired of winning because they're winning so much, and you know.
This is modesty.
Well, are you tired of winning yet, Lucy? How's your 401 doing, I wonder?
Well, let's move on to North Korea, talking about accomplishing
this. Well, so far,
this.
We're killing it, and without me here, we would be at war.
Why do you say we were going to war?
Well, so far, it's a tremendous success. I mean, I have my brother Kim eating right out of my hands. In fact, Melania and I are thinking about extending an invitation to him and his family over for Thanksgiving to give praise to the Holy One.
I want to read you his resume, Kim. He presides over a cruel kingdom of repression, gulags, starvation, reports that he had his half-brother assassinated, slave labor, public executions. This is a guy you love?
Well, the Bible teaches us to love everyone. I learned this in Sunday school, Lucy. You probably didn't know.
Why do you love that guy?
Well, you probably didn't know I went to Sunday school. In fact, I was the most well-adjusted and had the best attendance of anyone in Sunday school. Hey, listen, I love all people, except those people who are trying to stop us from winning. I don't want to give out any names here, but you know you can guess who they are.
He's a bad guy. China, I'm skipping across the world here. You've slapped a lot of tariffs. Gonna do more?
Maybe, probably, could be. I'm thinking about it.
How much squeezing of them are you prepared to do when American products are gonna be more expensive for American consumers in the end of all this?
Well, listen, we need to make this
relationship. Are you trying to sort of push them into a...
Well,
we need trying to sort of push them into a depression?
Well, we need to make this relationship fair again. I mean, listen, I love Xi. You know that. You might say he has done bad things to his people as well, but I still love him. No, I'm not trying to go into a depression, but I'm trying to keep America out of depression or recession. Or look at it this way, Lucy. I'm trying to help you and your family so that you can keep your job as well.
You've also slapped tariffs on our allies.
Well, yes, isn't that exciting? Finally, a president with, well, how do you say, with testicular fortitude, is it? To keep our allies as allies by not letting them screw the American people over. I mean, this is just pure genius.
But this is hostile.
Well, it depends how you look at it. I think it's genius.
Are you willing to get rid of the Western alliance?
Listen, I like NATO. I just don't think we should be the poster child for the welfare state by emptying our coffers by filling their coffers. You see that big building they built? Their headquarters in Brussels? Who do you think paid for that?
It does seem that you're willing to disrupt the Western alliance. It's been going for 70 years. It's kept peace for 70 years.
You don't know that. You have no idea what they've done. How can you say that?
Is it true General Mattis said to you the reason for NATO and the reason for all these alliances is to prevent World War III?
No, it's not true. That's not true at all.
What's not true?
To be honest, I love General Mattis, Mad Dog and all. But let's be clear here. He works for me. I probably know more about NATO. Just saying.
Putin. Okay, people don't understand why you never have a harsh word for Vladimir Putin. Do you agree that Vladimir Putin is involved in assassinations and poisonings?
Maybe, probably. But did you know that Hillary and Bill Clinton are involved in murders and were selling our uranium to Russia? It's a terrible thing. It's a tragedy.
Well, probably those are rumors. But this is a terrible thing. Do you believe that the Russians interfered in the 2016 campaign election?
Sure, they probably did, and so did China.
Why do you say China? Why don't you just say the Russians meddled?
Well, quite frankly, to tell you the truth, if this is all about meddling, you really need to look at the DNC and the Democratic operatives who are fighting us to secure our own elections. I'm not telling you how to do your job, Lucy, but you may want to interview them next.
Now you're diverting the whole Russia thing. This is what you do best. Okay, what about the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions?
What about him?
Everybody thinks, given the things you've said, that you're not happy with him. Can I assume he's gone?
Yes, he's gone. I can promise you that he will not even collect the $200 when he goes by Park Place Boulevard just after the midterms. Are they still playing that game, Lucy?
Will you pledge that you will not shut down the Mueller investigation?
No. Why would I pledge anything to you? After all, you are just a lowly reporter and I am president. The only thing I can pledge is that I will never let up from calling you and your colleagues out to be the fake news that you are.
But you won't pledge.
No, I just said I will not pledge. This is fake news. Total fake news.
So you've been president for almost 2 years. Is there anything that you wish you hadn't said? Anything you wish you hadn't done? Do you have any regrets?
No, I don't have any regrets, probably. Well, now that you put it that way, I typically try to prevent ever using the word, mistake. I don't really like mistakes here. But sure, there are a few things I could have changed.
What about forced separation of children from their parents at the border? Migrant children.
Hey, listen, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. We are simply enforcing the laws here. Do you know? Do you understand that?
It was on the books, but you didn't enforce it. You enforced it. You launched that, the zero tolerance policy, to deter families with children coming.
It is a fact that Obama wasn't even born here.
Okay, changing subjects again. You are the first president of the United States who never had a political post before, nor ever served in the military. You come up here, you've been here for almost 2 years. What's the biggest surprise, and what have you learned since you've been president?
Well, if I ever needed any clarification of just how evil politics and the media are, I mean, come on. Washington is the most corrupt, disgusting, vile place if there ever was one. You could actually say this is like hell here.
Okay, this country is divided, polarized. Within families, there aren't even people who can talk to each other. What does this say about where we are as a country right now? All this division and strife.
Well, it says we are winning. We are winning like we've never won before,
Lucy. We know you won. We know. And after you won, instead of saying, let's all come together. This is wonderful. Let's heal all of this. You come out and bash the Democrats.
Listen, I had to pick up the pieces from the worst administration in history. The Democrats were driving this country into the ground, and now we are the best administration in the history of the United States.
And you mimicked Professor Blasey Ford. You mimicked her. Why?
Well, it was important to show Americans how sinister she was.
Why did you have to make fun of her?
Because she lied. She lied, and we need to set an example for all liars. I mean,
Professor Blasey Ford got before the Senate and was asked, what's the worst moment? And she said, when the two boys laughed at me at my expense. And then I watched you mimic her, and thousands of people were laughing at her.
And your point is?
Do you think you treated her with respect?
Absolutely, I did. We gave her all the time to confess and say the truth, and she continued to lie. And in the meantime, a good man was destroyed.
The anonymous column that ran in the New York Times, the author, we don't know who it is. Whoever it is paints a picture. The anonymous op-ed column told of a resistance within the Trump administration. You've questioned the fitness for office.
Yes, well, I've tried to lose 40 pounds since coming here so that I would be, like, more fit for office, as you would all be happy, but I know that will never work for you all.
Well, you've said this administration is like a smooth-running machine, yet we keep hearing that the White House is in chaos.
Well, I wouldn't call it chaos. I would call it organized success. In fact, did I tell you the best administration in history yet we are? You at least have to admit that I don't use cigars in the Oval Office at least that much. You got to give me that much credit, Lucy.
Huh. More people going to be fired?
We're looking at some other decisions, some choices that we made after the midterms.
So many people. You have kind of a record on turnover. Are you not happy with some?
Well, the list is too long, and I'm not going to give you that scoop today since this interview has been so one-sided and hostile.
What about General Mattis? Is he going to leave?
Well, maybe everyone leaves Washington at one time or another. One cannot stay here too long as the air is so polluted from the politicians. In fact, I call it political warming. This is the real controversy that no one is covering.
The First Lady, Melania, she said that there are still people in the White House that she doesn't trust and that you shouldn't trust.
Isn't that amazing? You now want to highlight and honor something dear Melania has said. After you and the media treat her so disrespectful, shame on you.
You go to a meeting. Do you have to wonder, is he wearing a wire?
No, not at all. But I do always feel like I am doing a high wire act in the middle of a swamp. You know what I mean, Lucy?
It takes a president a while to find his sea legs. And you feel comfortable now?
I feel so comfortable. Incredibly comfortable, Lucy. So much that I'm going to stick around for 6.5 more years. I know that I am a ratings bonanza for all you media elite. So this is good news you can take to the bank.
Well, thank you.
America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. All right, so back to the more serious news, friends, on Viewpoint, the Midweek Report. It's Malcolm Out Loud here, and listen, you know, you hear the 60 Minutes adaptation we did there just earlier. And, you know, it's just, you got to kind of question sometimes the way the media comes at these stories and the way the back and forth is. And I don't know, I was just sitting through that whole interview and I thought it was an entire spectacle of Leslie Stahl and the president. And I just could not help myself but to bring you what I thought was my truth. In fact, quite frankly, I think the president was very presidential in that interview, very restrained. As you can tell, I would not have been quite that way. Well, listen, let's get to the top stories of the week. There's a lot to talk about here next, friends. And please welcome on here, Colonel Jim Warshuk is here. He's retired from United States Air Force. He's a career senior intelligence and special missions officer. He served as deputy director for intelligence for U.S. Central Command and has worked on the White House National Security Council. Joining us also, Dr. Ron Martinelli is a forensic criminologist and law enforcement expert. He's the author of The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. And he's also host of the talk show A Thread of Evidence right here on America Out Loud, 9 p.m. weeknights, friends. You'll catch that. All right, gentlemen, the top story that everybody is talking about is this Jamal Khashoggi, the journalist, sortie fame and all. And so let me give a little background real quickly on this, everybody understands. So Mr. Khashoggi, he joined the Muslim Brotherhood in the 70s, and he worked high up with the Saudi family. He was kind of editor of the Saudi newspapers to ensure what made it into print and what did not. So he has a very interesting background that nobody really is talking about. He wrote some pretty scathing criticisms, if you will, of the Saudi government. Colonel Warshuk, I want to start with you on this. You know, there's a lot of background to this gentleman that nobody's really talking about. But I think the big question on everybody's mind is, do you think the Saudi government is behind this?
For now, we have to wait to the investigation, as Secretary Pompeo talked about. He says there's going to be a thorough and complete investigation, and we shouldn't rush to any judgments. Now, as you noted, much of what has occurred seems to point in that direction. Right. You know, there's the implication that he was beaten, drugged, and killed. He was cut up, and all kinds of different stories. So, you know, we don't know officially, other than what types of speculation and accusations have been made. But the fact is, the man disappeared for whatever reasons, based on his reporting that made the Saudi government unhappy. The other implication that here is that the fact that this happened in Turkey and supposedly at the Saudi consulate in Turkey, is that any form of implication that both countries were involved? It may have been done by one, and the other one maybe have tried to help cover it up. And so, you know, this is going to be an interesting investigation from my standpoint, from things I've worked on in the past, and I've worked in both Saudi Arabia and I've worked in Turkey. Yeah. And the real big important thing here is we have to walk on thin ice here, because we can't rush to judgment to point the finger at either country until we know exactly what happens. And we still have relations with countries, and you don't want to jump the shark and create greater situations that put us in the bad light, both in the world. It reflects on how we do. And like the president said yesterday, you know, we should not play into this, you're guilty and proven innocent.
All right. And then Pompeo, you know, here's the thing. Yeah. So he's out there. He goes to Saudi first, then to Turkey. And he says that, you know, the Saudis will investigate this. I mean, what really stunned me with all that, Dr. Martinelli, is he was saying it with a straight face. When I seen the Secretary of State saying, they're going to investigate this, like, fully, like he was really, like, believing it. I mean, does anybody really think for a minute that the Saudi government is going to do a proper investigation with this case? I mean, does anybody think that, Dr. Martinelli?
Well, you know, Colonel Jim's been on the ground there before, so, you know, he understands the players. You know, me, I don't speculate about anything. With me, it's all about forensic evidence. Here's what we know so far. We've got CCTV video showing Jamal Khashoggi going into the consulate. We don't see any CCTV of him coming out of the consulate. He would have been in that consulate now over a week. Now, the next thing that is being discussed is that they have some audio of him being killed. Mm-hmm. Hypothetically, if that's true, and what is being understood at this point is that he wore an Apple Watch to the meeting, had it set on record, had his girlfriend outside in a vehicle capturing and recording everything that was happening to him. Perhaps that was his insurance policy, he felt. And that is where they're getting the recordings. So certainly they're not getting, at this particular time, there's no indications that they're getting the recordings from inside the Saudi consulate. In other words, the Saudis at this point are not cooperating with us. So we've got a guy going in. We may have some audio recording of him being attacked and murdered, and we have nobody going out. Right. And that's where we are. And it all depends on the level of cooperation we get from the Saudi government and the Turkish government to how this thing turns out.
I heard about the watch thing and that information was being stored in the cloud, which can very well happen. I mean, but obviously, reports are that he knew he was potentially taking his life into his own hands, and the risk factor was significant. He knows who he's dealing with when he deals with the Saudi government, clearly, and he's been very, very critical of the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. There, it's very, very critical of him. You know, Ron, can you imagine the nightmare? Talk about a forensic nightmare. This guy was tortured, cut up into boxes, and this is how obviously they got him out of there. Evidently, I mean, I was thinking of you when they were talking about that story. They said, "Wow, and now they're saying the walls have been freshly painted and everything else. So this kind of looks like it is. Let me talk specifically before we leave this. I want to talk about what action America should take. And let me address this. Colonel, I want to get you to chime in real quickly here. So I don't watch the late night comics at all anymore. I think a lot of America has shut them off. But I did catch one in the News Journal in one of the prints this morning where Colbert came out and said, "Well, you must be stupid or delusional to believe the Saudi denial." Okay, our president is both. So that was his comment. And I say that only because that's a normal talking point you're seeing out there. And the reason I bring that particular quote up, Colonel Warshak, is what action should America take? Because there's this is what is really the pivotal point of this whole conversation. If you listen to, you know, the Leslie Stahl on the 60 Minutes, you listen to a lot of the journalists, you listen to a lot of the pundits, and, you know, well, we should be outraged. We should, like, never do business with them again. We should, like, send them to the bad room, you know, send them to bed without dinner. I mean, you know, all this outrage, you know, I got to tell you, if we were outraged with every single thing that went wrong or some stupid act around the world, we would get nothing done because it happens on a daily basis, especially governments doing dumb things and heads of state. It is not unusual at all. But again, what should America do? At that point, we know the risk and what the political implications are here, Jim. So what's the bottom line? What do we do?
Well, the bottom line here is, you know, let's stop with the nonsense and the political implications and the rumors. You know, this is the same thing the political left did on Kavanaugh. They rushed to judgment on everything without following through on everything. And it's the same thing here. What most people don't understand, never pay attention to, don't even comprehend, there's a lot of back channel communications going on between our State Department and our government. With the Saudis, with the Turks. You know, when you see Pompeo there standing there with a straight face, he knows everything he knows. He can't put it out and reveal it because we're doing our own investigation internally on what went on here based on all the evidence, as Dr. Ron has said. And so we know a lot more than they do, but we're never going to reveal that. Right. And when everything is out in the open and the investigation and come on. Yeah, the Saudis are going to do what they do, but we're going to do the same thing. We have our ways of finding out what's going on.
So what you say
there, we'll make a decision based on the final outcome.
Well,
but
we
shouldn't be running out there and saying, "Okay, we're going to sever ties because they're guilty."
Right.
Like I said earlier, let's see what happens.
That's fine. We probably are never going to hear the real truth. You just say that. I agree with you there. We're probably never going to hear the real truth, number one. But number two, if it does come back and it's an incriminating situation for the Saudi government, what action should America take? Nobody really wants to answer that question. You didn't just answer it. I don't think, Martinelli, you have an answer for that. Nobody really wants to answer that question, do they?
Well, you saw how quickly the Saudis, I mean,
what?
Even before this broke the news, the Saudis were already coming to the U.S. We're innocent. We didn't do anything.
Right.
That automatically, to me, tells me there's a sign of some guilt when you automatically you know, diplomatically go to the United States, and this had nothing to do with the United States. This is one of their own journalists in a foreign country in Turkey, but they're already talking about it. So they're trying to set the narrative early on before this avalanche of conspiracy and everything else. Innuendo and everything. So I think that is a sign of everything, and they know it. And the Saudis. No. The United States is the first one in on all this. You know, you don't hear any other country in the world really dealing with it. Yes. They've got a big weapons deal with the U.S. that, you know, Trump can tear up in a minute. And they fear that the U.S. has more to gain in this over Saudi than the Saudis do. They're boxed in now, and I think they realize.
Yeah, very, very interesting. There are a lot of implications from this, but I got to tell you, I don't think the president can just rip that deal up because, again, as he has pointed out, they'll buy in from China, from Russia, from somebody else. We have a lot to lose, actually, and being that they are kind of the kingpin out there, that Saudi government is, into the Middle East, there's so much to this story. But again, I just get charged when I see people around the nation, political pundits and journalists and others and all kinds of people that say, well, we should take action. My question is, what action should we take, people? But nobody answers that because they don't really know how to answer that. You know what the answer to that is, friends? There's not a damn thing we can do about it. And you know, number two is, and you just answered it, Colonel, because it is none of our damn business. So remember those two things, people, and then tell me what you want to do next as everybody gets on their high and mighty. Nobody wants to hear this because nobody really wants to hear the truth. But again, we can't control every government and every rogue government and every situation around the world. It's not possible. Speaking of all of this, the midterm election is coming fast now. I mean, really fast. The stakes have never been higher. There's a lot going on. This is fresh off of the Kavanaugh debacle. I'll call it a debacle because it was all of that. And here we are, big money's being spent. I mean, Hollywood is on high alert. All the names, everybody's in the game right now. They say the turnout at this midterm will be record-breaking. Like, it will be like nothing we've ever seen, both for Democrats and Republicans, because it shows you the resist movement is alive and well. And so is the campaign, the Make America Great campaign. We've never quite seen anything like that. So, Dr. Martinelli, it's going to be an interesting midterm. Now, President Trump, they say, has already raised over $100 million for the 2020 race. The race has kind of already started. You're already starting to see a lot of Democratic names being put in, like Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and many others are being tossed in here, Cory Booker, and it goes on and on and on. In fact, a lot of them were performing at the Supreme Court hearings, quite frankly. But you're seeing this whole thing happen around the country. Have you ever seen a midterm like this?
Well, you know, Malcolm, my wife Linda and I, and you know, Linda's a fantastic columnist for America Out Loud. We've been doing a lot of writing and a lot of studying on this. I'm going to tell you that I totally agree. This will be the highest midterm turnout in the history of this country. Number one, more money is going to be spent on this midterm election, and more money, as a matter of fact, I predict twice as much money. Remember how much money was spent in the 2016 presidential election? I predict twice as much money. You're never going to see so much money. And I'm going to tell you my fears. This is absolutely a fight for the soul of America and our values. You couldn't have a more clear choice in which way this country needs to go, because we are at a critical crossroads. We're either going to go far to the left, enter into socialism and Marxism, and even perhaps partly anarchism, like Antifa, in that direction, which to me is Nazi socialism. Or we are going to return to American values and the rule of law and our Bill of Rights, which has been just squandered in the last couple of years. That's where we're going. And Americans have got to wake up, and they have got to get to the polls and take 10 people with them if we are going to survive this.
Just make sure they're legal. That's all we ask. When you take the 10 with you, right, Ron? I mean,
absolutely.
That's one of the battle points from the West Coast, obviously. There's a lot of illegals with driver's licenses and they don't even want them to have any ID to vote, which is insane. I mean, none of it makes any sense, but this is what they do here.
You know, just the other day, we had 140 congresspeople that voted no against the ID, voter ID. 140 of our congresspeople voted no against voter ID. That should tell you everything you want to know, because that illegal alien vote is substantial. They are looking back at the presidential election and thinking about 5.6 million illegals voted in that election.
Ron, I want to implore you to do a column, an article on what you just said. And I got to tell you what, because nobody's hearing what you just said. We ought to expose those 140 names. Correct? We ought to expose those. And
absolutely,
we need to push that. And that's something you should do. And I'll endorse that and push that out there, because everybody needs to know who these cats are that sit there in the high, mighty boxes. And then all of a sudden, when it really matters, they take a flip view. And this is insane. I mean, the whole thing is that we're losing the fabric of a country here and of a nation. Colonel Warshak, in regards to the election, I want to speak specifically. There's a headline on Drudge, actually, this morning, and it's actually based on the Associated Press. Don't blame me if the Dems take the House. Which, of course, is controversial, because the president's saying he didn't say that. He has a tweet out about that and so on and so forth. And again, when you look at what was said, he didn't say that. It looks like the Associated Press took, again, privilege to customize what the president said or didn't say, made a headline out of it, and now, of course, it's out there everywhere, all over the place, which is the whole idea of media and what he calls fake news. One thing we've noticed in the past many weeks here, the president has kind of, sort of, become his own press secretary. You're seeing less of those daily press briefings. You don't see them hardly anymore. You're not seeing a lot of those people out in front. It looks like the president has taken the reins of this thing, and he's become the head of the talking points coming into the midterm. This is strategic in nature, isn't it, Colonel?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up the point about Drudge and how they misidentified and rearranged that whole discussion that the president had about that, and they deliberately put it out of context. But it's really, you are spot on this. Yes, the president has become his own press secretary, and the reason for that is because everything has now strategically changed to Trump against everybody else. That's mm-hmm. That's the narrative that the mainstream media and the Democrats and everybody are doing, because they want to drag him into every situation and hope that he says something that they can actually use against him. They're fearful of the power that he has. They're seeing the impact that he's having around the country. You know, he's doing a campaign rally every day for all around the country for practically every Republican candidate, be it a governor or a senator or a congressman. And you know, just like going back to the 16 election, Trump knows all I have to do is dominate the news. I have to be in the news 24/7, and I win. Right. Negative or positive, it's not that. It's the fact that he dominates that, and that's what he's doing now. He's dominating everything. He's dominating national security. He's dominating public policy. He's dominating domestic policy. And he's dominating this campaign.
All right.
This midterm campaign is about Trump.
When you see a lot of the news points coming through here, and you see how vicious the media heads are, the headlines, I think a lot of people understand you're not going to beat the president on policy at this point, because quite frankly, his policies are working. Now, you can argue that all day long if you're from the left or the right or the middle. I mean, you can argue that, but you know, you're not going to win that argument, because his policies appear to be working for the average American and for the country. And he's doing what he said he was going to do. So that's just not a partisan comment. It's just a fact, people. If you take that and you understand what that means, then you have to understand, why are people so ripped? Why why are they so engaged, Ron? Why do they hate this president so much that they just want to defeat him at any cost? I mean, my golly, the actor and person who imitates him on SNL, Alec Baldwin, come out the other day and said, we need to overtake the White House and get rid of the press. I mean, you can't believe the comments that are being said from people that have a lot of followers and a lot of fan base. I think there's a lot of risk for the president at this point, Ron, based on the fact I think the Secret Service has, I think people are pretty juiced, and I think they got to worry about his security, his safety, because people are getting in your face and it's really getting violent. Now, with the midterms coming, the president comes out on Twitter and he calls, Stormy Daniels and this whole horse face. And that got a lot of people's attention. Of course, why would the president do that? And of course, Elizabeth Warren is out there about the whole Cherokee Nation, which is upset with her. And then it's all kind of mixed into the story about Stormy, which he's now using the Twitter feed to call her names. I'm asking you specifically, Ron, does this help or hurt the president's cause by getting on Twitter, calling Stormy names, calling Elizabeth Warren names, calling other women names, when he's having a kind of an identity problem with women to begin with? I mean, does that help his cause out?
No, I don't think it helps the cause out. And I actually agree with what Colonel Jim has to say. He's getting his name out. I think Richard Nixon was the person that said, you know, I don't care what they say about me. I just want to make sure they spell my name right.
They spelled his name all right when they threw them the hell out of office. That doesn't always work, my friends.
No, it doesn't. So right. If I were president, would I use different terms? Of course I was. But this goes back, everything that you said before, Malcolm, goes back to my theme that this is a war and these people are scared. These people on the left are scared because they want to take over this country. Goes back to the whole illegal alien thing. So let me tell you something. If they allow illegal aliens to vote, and if Trump gives these people amnesty, our democracy is gone and we revert to a second or third world nation, socialist Marxist nation like Venezuela. And the people can never forget this. If they get the vote, if they bring in illegal aliens, if they get amnesty, they are going to vote to Democrats and to the left, which to me is the same thing, because there are no moderate Democrats that are speaking up and saying, hey, stop this. What you are going to see is what we saw from Kavanaugh, and a destruction of the rule of law. And by the way, they will change once they get the majority in Congress and the Senate. They will change the rules for the Supreme Court. They will pack that Supreme Court, and we will lose all of our constitutional guarantees for civil rights.
Well, listen, when you say moderate Democrats, it's become sort of a unicorn at this point. You're not hearing a lot of them anymore. You don't hear those voices anymore. It's the extremists who've taken the sound bites completely over. And last real point before I want to get on to some other things in just a moment here, but last quick story here. Ron, I want to stay with you a moment and give me a quick answer to this here. This headline I've seen the last day or so, Microsoft and Google are refusing to work with the Pentagon. And this was a real eye-opener. Now, Amazon came forward and Jeff Bezos and said they will continue their contracts. But Google and Microsoft have said they don't want any part of it in working with the Defense Department and the Pentagon and what have you. What do you make of this?
Well, I think it's very interesting. And last night, I heard a person that wasn't at the executive level, but he was at the engineering management level at Facebook, mm-hmm. who left Facebook. And he was extremely articulate. And I don't think Facebook is any different than Google or any of the social media platforms. And he said there are small groups within these companies that are vociferous and they are extremely radical liberal, and they are changing the face of these organizations because upper management, the executive team, is scared to take these people on. Now, don't forget, every single one of these people are at-will employees, even in California, at-will employees. But they are changing the face of how these social media platforms and these search engines interact with the United States government. Yeah. Okay? Right. And, so that's the fight that's going on. And if these any of these social platforms get any government subsidies, that all needs to stop, and this needs to go back to the art of the deal.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a big problem ahead with these technical companies and these social media outlets. I mean, we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg right now, but I'm telling you now, they are controlling a lot of the media out there, and a lot of the mantra of, remember, a lot of people go to these sites to get their news. A lot of people are going to all of these sites, whether via Facebook, whether via Twitter, whether it be Google, and all of these platforms is where they're getting a lot of this stuff. Yahoo, you name them all. I mean, this is where a lot of it's coming from. And so I think you got some real problems ahead. A lot of power has been given to these technical companies, and there's a lot more to say about this story, friends. Well, listen, another couple of big things I want to touch on. We're going to continue with our power panel here with Jim and Ron in just a moment here, but we got the MS-13 gang problem that has really been surfacing. I want to touch on that. You see this caravan coming up from Honduras. This is kind of interesting too, and it's right at the election turn point. This could, and you know what's interesting about this, people, is right now, if you'll notice, within this midterm election, you're not hearing a lot about immigration anymore, because part of the talking points of the Democrat, a lot of the politicians that are running, they are telling everybody to be quiet and not bring up immigration. Here you got this caravan coming up at the wrong time. It's going to have an impact on this election, potentially. Very, very interesting. Where's the Attorney General in all this? Of course, everybody continues to ask that. Stay right there. We're going to continue on as Viewpoint rolls up.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
You know, you've been hearing these the conversations about the MS-13 gangs and some of the headlines I've seen in previous weeks here. And it gets your attention, people, because it says it's a bigger threat to the U.S. now than ISIS. And then I begin to think, well, what's really going on? You don't hear a lot more about ISIS. You know, Colonel, I want to start with you on this topic here about MS-13 versus ISIS. And here's what I want to say. It's amazing to me how we really don't hear much about ISIS anymore. Their caliphate has been diminished out in the Middle East. You're not hearing, not that they're not still out there. We're not suggesting they've been completely eradicated, because I'm sure that they are still out there. It's, you know, you've got to cut the head off first, and then you've got to, you know, pull that whole organization down. But there's been tremendous progress, which you're not hearing in the media, regarding terrorism. In fact, we're kind of getting a little lax and comfortable these days. This is just my opinion, Jim. My sense is nobody's really paying attention. And then you've got this MS-13 gang problem, which I know Dr. Ron's got some insight on that. But talk to me specifically. You feel pretty good, I think, about the fight on terror and what's been accomplished with ISIS. And how do you relate to the fact that nobody really is talking about the successes there, Jim?
Well, that's a good point, Malcolm. And here's what's really going on. It's kind of twofold. One, the political left, the mainstream media, Democrats, whoever, don't want to talk about the successes of ISIS, because when you talk about the successes, it reveals the type of strategy and capability that the U.S. has put towards that effort under this president. And so to go out there and say we're not hearing much about ISIS because they've been diminished to a degree that they're less effective, of course, they're still out there. They've moved some of their organizational capabilities to Afghanistan. But there has been great success on the ground in Syria and Iraq, and the left is not going to talk about that because to talk about it gives a thumbs up to the success that this president has had. The other thing is they don't want to talk about terrorism because that they know is a hot button issue that President Trump owns. And so they don't want to talk about terrorism as a whole. And of course, they're not going to talk about MS-13 because MS-13 is a threat. It's a direct threat. They're in our country. They're brutal. They're vicious. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to talk about it. Look at all the crimes that have been reported. They don't want that on the front page. And so they're keeping it quiet. And the reason is that is a critical, hard sell for them to say, you know, when you see Nancy Pelosi going out there saying, well, they're citizens or they're human beings and, you know, what have you. That's not the way to talk about it. And so they really don't have a fight in this. And so, like anything else, if they don't have a fight in it, they're going to keep it off the front page.
Which is what's happened
here. Out of the media.
In regards to the whole, right. And it all relates right to the immigration debate that we've been having like forever. Ron, what do you think about, I know you follow this. I mean, this is right in your wheelhouse here. We're talking about the MS-13, the gang problem. I mean, I am stunned, I guess is what I would say to you, stunned, when most everybody doesn't really understand the history of these gangs, where they're from. Again, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, they're coming from those areas where we're having the immigration problems and the caravan problems. They put themselves right into these large groups, they weed right in there, they come in with kids, they use kids as little tokens to be able to get in and abuse our immigration problems. They know how to abuse the entire. We are the laughing stock of the entire immigration debacle, I mean, around the world. And they're laughing at us while they're doing it, Ron. I mean, it's mind blowing, really, when you think about this. And yet, you hear very little about this. Talk to me on this.
The name MS-13, that's the acronym for Mara Salvatrucha, which in the Salva part is El Salvador. All right. And these are gangs. This gang has been within the United States even during the Clinton administration. The thing that is scary about this gang and why it presents such a threat to our national security is because it is tied in directly with the Sinaloa drug cartel and the Zeta cartel transporting dope. This is a lot about dope, but they use, you know, domestic terrorism to establish territories in these different cities throughout the United States. Now, that being said, this ties in with, you know, these trains of people coming up from Central America. Now we're talking about these hundreds of people coming up from Honduras. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a place in Mexico, so I understand the Mexican culture very well. The thing that bothers me and what needs to take place here is right after we make an agreement, a trade agreement with Mexico, the Mexican government allows this train of hundreds of Hondurans to enter its country and literally walk all the way up in two directions, one direction towards San Diego, the other directions towards El Paso, Texas. Mm-hmm. And what is scary about that is also a entry point for ISIS terrorists coming into the United States. Just last week, my contacts in El Paso told me that they interrupted a Middle Easterner sneaking six Yemenis into the country from Mexico into El Paso. Yemenis, as we remember, are, you know, terrorist cells. If you remember the coal that was blown up in Yemen. So we have to be extremely careful. If you compare ISIS to MS-13, just in killings alone, the question you ask yourself is, how many people has ISIS killed in the United States? Not a lot, if hardly any. How many people have MS-13 killed in the United States? Hundreds, if not thousands.
Wow. And the direct link to the terrorism in what you're saying has been my greatest fear all along. That's been my greatest fear with the borders. So as the political pundits play games and the politicians go back and forth with our border conversation and national security, as you say, Ron, what's happening is, you know, these cats are taking advantage of our lax laws and our stupidity. I mean, let's call it what it is. It's our own damn stupidity. that this stuff goes on. This really, this conversation is, to me, we ought to fire them all the politicians who don't take this more seriously. And what's it going to take? You know, I wonder sometimes, Ron, Jim, I wonder if it's going to take, is it going to take more until their own kids are killed? These politicians I'm talking that seem to look the other way on these kinds of violations to our national security. Is it about them getting their wives abused and raped and gang raped and tortured? Is that what it will take for them to speak up? Because obviously the average American being brutalized or killed or murdered doesn't seem to change their day or change their lunch schedule. But I bet it will if they get their own kids or their mothers are done. What do you think, Ron?
Well, let me tell you, Malcolm, you know, there are hundreds of sanctuary cities and jurisdictions in the United States. All one needs to do, like what I do as a criminologist, is I compare the levels of crime that are illegal alien level crime and gang crimes and compare that to whether you're a sanctuary jurisdiction or not. And I can tell you categorically, based on my research, that where you have sanctuary cities and jurisdictions, you have much higher levels of gang-related crime, such as MS-13, and crimes being committed by illegal aliens. And as a population of the United States, which is basically about 3.5%, you know, the level of disproportionate crime that illegal aliens commit is astounding,
right,
compared to, you know, American citizens. And the media keeps trying to spin this in the opposite direction.
I don't understand
which is an outright lie.
Yeah,
and it's also, you know, people like you mentioned Pelosi and, you know, Feinstein and Gavin Newsom and people like this are all complicit in perpetrating the lie and continuing the lie.
Well, they got blood on their hands is what they got. I mean, it's terrible what's going on here. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, and one of the things you have to consider, and this has been said many times by Democratic politicians and many of their Democratic operatives, you raised a good question about what will it take? Mm-hmm. Will it take their kids being killed or their wives and daughters being raped? They don't even care about that. They have even said it takes a degree of tolerance, and if that has to be what it is, we're willing to sacrifice that for the greater good that they see of this fairness and allowing them into the country. That's how deeply embedded this idea of illegal immigration is. It's the end justifies the means. No matter what, we're willing to sacrifice a few of our own so that this can go through. And so that to me is the real scary aspect of this whole thing.
Well, Colonel, I wonder in this case, the president came out just a couple of days ago and said that he's going to cut back the money we give these people in aid, like Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, all these countries, the aid we give them, that if they continue to let these caravans come up, that he's going to stop. In fact, that's a tweet he just put out. Probably he should, right?
Well, absolutely. This goes to the heart of those governments. They love receiving that aid, and that, you know, it goes into their corruption coffers, and it's you when that starts to dry up and they realize we can't allow this to happen.
Yeah.
You know, their whole focus is to get that aid turned back on again, and they'll do what they need to do that. The other thing that really has to be looked at is it's not so much the U.S. aid. You know, it's interesting. We haven't had one of these caravans for about a year or so, and now all of a sudden this was coming up. This is politically orchestrated. This is George Soros money, and I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
lots of other special interest groups who are doing this. This is a political stunt to impact this midterm election, to bring immigration to the forefront again, and to use it against, to get Trump to come out and say stuff about it, because that's the only thing they have. That's their strong card. While I think, and I hope most Americans don't agree with it, they're playing for keeps on this, and this is why this is all being done at this point in time. These people all of a sudden just didn't decide, well, we're going to go to America because jobs are short here in Honduras and El Salvador and Guatemala. This was orchestrated, just like it's been orchestrated in past years and during the Obama administration. This was all planned out. This didn't happen because it happened.
And then they want to talk about open borders. And then it's always pointed out to me from people that say, well, but you know, the statue has that placard that says, send us, you're tired, you're poor, you're et cetera. I mean, this is the answer I get back from people on the left. They think that somehow that's the answer I get. They really believe that that's our duty. It's our civic duty to the world to be able to let anybody come in whenever they want. Keep the borders open. Kumbaya. Take the hits where they come. I'm not sure what it's going to take, people, to change this narrative and for people to really wake up and understand the dangers of this. But it's really, really fascinating. We were speaking earlier about the midterm, guys, and the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, who is really, I think it's safe to say, his days are numbered here. Colonel, give me, I've really just got moments left here, but tell me what you think about, I mean, is it safe to say, do you think he's going to be looking for another job after the midterm election?
Again, I think we have to watch the Mueller investigation, what comes out of that. I think there's going to be some big news on that right around the midterm, and that will set what Trump is going to do is he's going to give Sessions an easy way out. Despite all the rhetoric and things that he said, I think there will be an opportunity for him to say, okay, I've served 2 years, and now it'll be time to step aside and do something else. So, you know, Sessions kicked people, you know, didn't recuse himself and went in and cleaned house. We would have never found out as much as we did because it would have gone away with the folks who have been removed. So I think the Trump administration and Trump have to paint this as a success and everything worked as planned. And he's going to be the great strategist on how that's all played out. So there's going to be, some degree of strategic planning at play, and I think it's going to be really interesting of what we see between the midterm and the end of 2018.
Yeah. Dr. Martinelli, last word here. You say on I think it's safe to say there's going to be a lot of changes after the election, after the midterm goes by. I think you're going to see a lot of changes in political positions, clearly in the White House. And clearly the Attorney General is one of those positions that is at great risk. You agree?
No, I do agree. There was a recent article in the New York Times just this last week that someone leaked out that apparently 5 people have been interviewed for the Attorney General's job. I think that's just a start. No matter how this goes, whether Sessions stays in or not, stuff that's going on the 7th floor of the FBI, which is their administrative wing, a lot of people have just got to go. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They've been destroying the Bureau, and there's, you know, thousands of hardworking men and women that risk their life every single day in the FBI, and they're just being tainted by this whole thing. So a lot of people have got to go on that 7th floor.
Is there one name or two that real quickly come to your mind, Ron, that you think would make a good Attorney General? Anybody?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to see Trey Gowdy in there.
Interesting. Jim, anybody you think would be a good AG?
Well, I have to agree with Ron. I was looking at Trey Gowdy. I know there's a lot of people who were looking at others. There's a few other names offhand, somewhat obscure that most people have not heard of or don't hear about. But I think, perhaps Trey Gowdy might be the one, because things have been pretty quiet on him, and he's stepping down. So I would watch that very closely.
Interesting. That would be an interesting move for sure. And a lot of people like Trey. He's got a lot of popularity out there. So, wow, we covered a great deal here. A big thank you here to Dr. Ron Martinelli, Colonel Jim Warshuk. Okay, friends, let me also remind you now that our one-year anniversary for Viewpoint this Sunday is the end of this month, the 28th. The 28th, that Sunday, one-year anniversary. Tune in. We've got some special things planned for you then. And we're excited. We're excited about that. And again, this show that we've launched on Wednesday, now the Midweek Report, comes every Wednesday to you, 6 p.m., of course. The Sunday morning news magazine is 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Friends, thank you again for being part of the journey today here. And remember, we will always deliver an honest analysis and opinions on all sides of the political aisle. While we don't discriminate against an opinion, the main thing is we are always in search of the out loud truth.